I met Pastor Valencia in Scotland, and he invited me to come and address you here. And I do think there is some kind of connection with me in Eastbourne. The minister of our church is the father of Reuben, who maybe sometimes comes here, or Miss Burden, who shares my name, but has no relative, is his girlfriend, I believe. So there's a link there. I want, first of all, to begin by speaking. That's the Murph video.
You probably didn't want to play it, so sorry about that one. Thank you. Have you got your?
It might be down there. I might have left it there. Is it underneath the, it's on the front pew, just behind you. I can trigger that off in a
Nice.
moment. We'll see if it works. Okay. But first of all, I want to bring your attention to a passage in Matthew's Gospel and chapter 15, Matthew chapter 15, and I shall read from verse 21. Matthew 15 and verse 21. Very familiar account of Jesus helping Syrophoenician lady. Matthew 15 and verse 21. Then Jesus went thence and departed into the coast of Tyre and Sidon. And behold, a woman of Canaan came out of the same coast and cried unto him, saying, "Have mercy on me, O Lord, thou son of David, my daughter is grievously vexed with the devil." And he answered her not a word. And his disciples came and besought him, saying, "Send her away, for she crieth after us." But he answered and said, "I'm not sent but unto the lost sheep of the house of Israel." Then came she and worshipped him, saying, "Lord, help me." But he answered and said, "It is not meet to take the children's bread and cast it to dogs." And she said, "Truth, Lord, yet the dogs eat the crumbs which fall from their master's table." Then Jesus answered and said unto her, "O woman, great is thy faith. Be it unto thee even as thou wilt." And her daughter was made whole from that very hour. Now, the reason I've chosen this passage is partly because of something I'm doing with this book here. This is called Sharing the Gospel with Your Muslim Neighbor. A number of churches asked me, is there anything that MRF produces to help us as we witness to our Muslim friends? And I had to scratch my head and find that we didn't, well, I knew we didn't have any English material, but I researched this book and read it, and it's a very, very helpful book. So if you need a copy, then please help yourself to one of these. In the book, it has 12 questions which Muslims often put to Christians to challenge them. And one of them is, Jesus called a woman a dog. How can you follow a man who calls a woman a dog? And so I came to study this passage. And it's a very wonderful passage. And it's certainly commends Jesus as someone to follow wonderfully. It speaks of the compassion of the Lord Jesus Christ and the way he handles this lady and the way that she persists in her faith. We're told in the first verse of this reading, verse 21, Jesus went thence and departed into the coast of Tyre and Sidon. That's a journey, presumably on foot, of about 30 miles. So Jesus walks 30 miles and then he walks right, 30 miles back, 35 miles. And the only reason he goes there is to meet this lady. He's not scornful of this lady. He's not dismissive of this lady. He is intent on serving this lady. And he travels all the way from Galilee up to Tyre and Sidon. He doesn't want to be known by anybody. He's not gone up there for a public ministry. He's trying to be in the house. But this lady hears about him and pursues him. And she has some little knowledge of Jesus. The way she addresses him, "Have mercy on me, O Lord, thou son of David. My daughter is grievously vexed with the devil." So she has some faith from the Old Testament scriptures about the son of David. The Messiah is going to be the son of David. The Messiah is going to be merciful. The Messiah, from Psalm 2, you read, "Ask of me, and I'll give you the heathen for your inheritance." So the son of David, son of God, is going to be this Messiah for all people, not just the Jewish people. So she has a Canaanite woman comes to Jesus. And the interesting thing is, who does Jesus listen to? His disciples or the woman? The disciples say to Jesus, "Send her away. She's a nuisance. She keeps crying out to us. It's an embarrassment. Just send her away." Jesus doesn't send her away. Jesus instead says to her, "I'm not sent, but unto the lost sheep of the house of Israel." What's he doing? He's drawing out her faith. And it's a wonderful faith. At the end of the passage, Jesus says, "Great is your faith. I've put it through the mill and I've tested it. Great is your faith." Jesus didn't say that to many people. He said it to the about the centurion's servant or the centurion. But here he's drawing out Jesus' faith. It seems inappropriate because my mission is to the lost sheep of the house of Israel. So it doesn't seem appropriate for me to minister to you. She came and she was not going to give up. She worshipped, saying, "Lord, help me." And then Jesus says this thing which the Muslims challenge us with. Jesus called her a dog. Well, there were two Greek words for dog, and the Greek word that's used here, although Jesus probably spoke in Aramaic, but he was understood to use this kind of Greek expression. It's not the right thing to do. It's not meet to take the children's bread and throw it to the little dogs. This isn't wild dogs. Jesus did talk about wild dogs, and he used the other Greek word for wild dogs. But here he uses the Greek word for little dogs, or the family dogs. We know it's a family dog because the woman then says, "Yes, but even the little dogs can eat the crumbs from their master's table." So these are the kind of dogs that would be in the family dining room. And the master can allow the crumbs to fall. And so Jesus is drawing out the faith of this woman, testing its persistence, testing its humility. And one of the things that you might say in answer to Muslims is, how a person says the words can affect the meaning of the word. So the tone of a person. I find it quite difficult sometimes when I hear people reading the scriptures and their tone of voice doesn't match the tone of the scriptures. And in this case, you could speak the words of Jesus, but in a very different tone to the way Jesus said it. You could say it It's not meat. Take the children's bread and cast it to the dogs. You could say it in that tone of voice. Or you could say it, as I believe Jesus would have said it, you know, it's not meat to take the children's bread and cast it to the little dogs. You see, that the way you say something affects what the meaning that you're giving to it. And Jesus, I'm sure, is speaking to this woman in a very gentle way. And instead of perhaps using a popular derogatory way of speaking of non-Jews, he softens that down to little dogs. And then the faith of this woman. Jesus says, it's not, I can't take a child's portion and throw it to non-Jewish men. She says, well, I'm not asking for a whole portion. All I need is a crumb. Even the dogs can eat the crumbs. Even the little dogs can eat the little crumbs that fall from their master's table. And Jesus, having drawn out the faith of this woman as she's persisted in her faith, has granted her request. O woman, great is thy faith, be it unto thee even as thou wilt. And her daughter was made whole from that very hour. Faith that persists, faith that's humble, faith that believes the word of Jesus. She would have left. Left the house where Jesus was. Her daughter wasn't there. Her daughter was at home, presumably. But she believed. She believed the word of Jesus, and her daughter was whole from that time. I was looking on the train coming up at different references to the Son of David. And there's a lovely passage in Isaiah 55. Oh, everyone that thirsts, come ye to the waters. He that hath no money, come buy and eat. And God will give the sure mercies of David. Covenant, the sure mercies of David. Maybe this woman had something of Isaiah's message. Seek the Lord while he may be found. Call upon him while he is near. Those are the verses of Isaiah. And this woman, she wasn't going to let the opportunity pass her by. Jesus had come all that way. And she will call upon him while he is near. And she certainly did and was rewarded. And the challenge to us is, we know about Jesus, but do we call upon him? Do we press our concerns upon him? Do we plead with him for the blessings that are so desperately needed? She was a woman in great need, and in our need, great need for help in evangelism. Do we cry out to the Lord for his mercy? Have mercy upon us, help us in bringing salvation to others. This lady pleading with Jesus to bring salvation to her daughter, deliverance. So may we be encouraged to believe, to trust Jesus more and more, to pray to him earnestly. There are other things about the context that show the attitude of Jesus to this woman was really helpful and not derogatory. If you look at the context, it's about what's clean and what's unclean. And then I was very encouraged to read someone say, after the dealing with the Canaanite woman, Jesus comes back to the Decapolis, the 10 Greek cities of Galilee. So Jesus is ministering to Gentiles, comes back to the Decapolis, and he feeds them with 4,000. He feeds 4,000 with bread. The woman asks for crumbs from the master's table. Jesus says, food for the Gentiles. And he comes back to the Decapolis. He multiplies 7 loaves to feed 4,000 Greek-speaking people in the cities of Decapolis. That's a very, very helpful surrounding us. So I recommend the book, and try and work on the answers yourself. Now, MRF, Middle East Reformed Fellowship. It's based in the Middle East, and it originated in the Middle East, but its ministry has expanded beyond the Middle East to help Christians in Muslim-dominated contexts. So that's why we have a ministry in Pakistan, why we have a ministry in Indonesia, why we have a ministry in South Sudan, too, South Sudan. This is a brief video about the Arabic media work. So MRF uses the internet to get the gospel across to Muslims, and Muslims can hear it in their own homes, on their phones, in the secrecy of their homes, perhaps. So whereas a Christian may not be able to engage personally with a friend, their friend can engage with the gospel on the internet or radio. So here's a brief video presentation of that work. We'll start. So look, maybe Mark can power it down there. Could you?
That should be. Oh, hang on.
You just started. It might just click.
No, I don't. Yeah.
MRF Arabic Mulai Ministry, Middle East Reformed Fellowship, enables faithful Bible-believing Christians and churches in Arab and Muslim lands to grow in the knowledge of God's word and in outreach to their communities through evangelism and church extension, biblical training, and diaconal aid. MRF radio and internet programs share the gospel in a dozen languages of the Middle East, North and East Africa and Asia. MRF is also actively involved in translation, printing and distribution of solid Christian literature in native languages. Arabic is by far the most widely spoken language in Arab and Muslim lands. There are about 420 million Arabic speakers in the world. Arabic is the fifth most spoken language after Chinese, Spanish, English, and Hindi. Most Arabic speakers live in the 22 nations of the Arab League. The vast majority of the population of these nations are Muslim. There are very, very few churches, and the Bible is largely unknown in these countries. Yet, continuing for over four decades, daily MRF Arabic gospel radio programs are spreading the good news of Christ's saving grace to sinners. This effort has multiplied over the last two decades, as MRF Arabic online gospel programs have also developed and expanded along the internet. Today, MRF's three very different Arabic websites and multiple social media platforms spread the gospel around the world in Arabic 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. They engage hundreds of thousands of Arabic speakers. Dardasha7.com, or Chat7, is the indirect online gospel outreach targeting young Arabs, who make up the majority of the population. It tactfully introduces Christ's teachings about sin and grace through popular topics, interesting drama, stories, and discussion. Isa-Almasih.com, or Jesus the Christ, is the direct online Arabic gospel outreach with programs for those of a Muslim background already interested in knowing more about the life, teachings, and saving work of Jesus, the Divine Messiah. MRF-ArabicLibrary.com freely provides sound reformed literature for Arab pastors, elders, serious Christians, and others desiring in-depth Bible study. Short articles and translations of classic Christian titles and other faithful books are freely available for download. Printed Arabic literature and a short catechism-based Sunday school curriculum are also available. Hundreds of thousands visit these online sites, thousands respond, hundreds interact with a follow-up team, and scores take serious interest in the scriptures. Those who, over time, prove themselves committed to Christ can be safely linked to other believers. Quote, SAA of Yemen says, when my cousin mentioned to me that he is learning some exciting things about Jesus, the Messiah, I asked him to tell me more. Now I can learn much more from the site, IsaAlMasih.com. I know he is much more than a prophet or a messenger. Please pray for MERF's Arabic Media Ministry team as they endeavor to prepare faithful and effective gospel messages in Arabic. Pray also for those trained to provide caring follow-up instruction to the growing numbers of Muslim seekers. Pray especially for the Lord's work in the hearts of the many who have no other way to hear the gospel of Christ. For monthly prayer updates on MERF Ministries, subscribe to MERF News at MERF.org. Thank you for your fellowship and partnership in this vital ministry.
So that's the MERF Arabic Media. Two teams, one in Lebanon, one in Cairo, and they work very closely together. But as you can see there, you can sign up for the newsletter on the internet. You'll get a monthly one. And there is also a printed bi-monthly one, which you have to give me your address and I'll get it posted to you. But you can sign up yourself for the email version. Now, my involvement with MERF came about when I'd been the pastor of a church for about 25 years in Eastbourne. The church gave me some time to go away and do whatever I wanted to do. And I eventually ended up going to Lokichokio to teach pastors and evangelists there. And after that, I got more and more involved with MERF. And so now I'm preparing biblical training material for men to use at Lokichokio and for the students from Lokichokio to take home with them and use in their own churches. So this is a presentation. This is not well. So this is where the base is in Lokichokio. Mountains there. It's quite close to the South Sudanese border because we minister to the Presbyterian Church of South Sudan. It's where most of the students come from, though others come from elsewhere. There's also training has begun in Tanzania. It's been going for 2 years now there, and also starting this year in Indonesia. So they're translating it into Indonesian language, one of the Indonesian languages, to start in August there. So you go forward the slide, Mark, sorry, show you that. Augustine of Hippo, it's called after Augustine. Augustine was born in 354 AD, and he was a teacher of rhetoric. He used to teach public speaking. He had a competition, he entered a competition and was employed by government to write speeches, which meant he traveled. He could go to Rome, he went to Milan, heard the preaching of Ambrose, was impressed with his preaching, paid no attention to what he was saying, but just the way he was saying it. But Ambrose treated him very kindly, and eventually Augustine was interested in Christianity and he was converted in a very dramatic way by reading Romans 13 and 14, make no provision for the flesh, put on the Lord Jesus Christ. Having been converted, going back to North Africa, he's made bishop, and he's concerned about the level of preaching, poverty of it, and the way they handled the scriptures. So he's the first person in church history to write a manual for preachers, explaining how you interpret the Bible and then instruction on how to preach it. So the Augustine program is quite well named because we are, we've got a training center training men to interpret the Bible properly and to preach it. Thank you, Mark. Our strap line, looking to God as we learn from his word. This is a group of students at Lokichokio. Then there's another group. Next slide. And then there's another group as well. So we have three courses every year. Courses are short because these are men who have not been to theological college. They're not going to go to theological college. They're farmers, goat herds, young men. Some of them got churches. Some of them are just evangelists in the church. They haven't got the resources to go to college, and probably many of them will never go to college. So to give them a kind of intense course, a 3 months course. This is some of the men who arrived at Lokichokio this year, January this year. So they're there at this present time. So they look a bit shocked from the airplane flight. It's probably the evening, and it's a small plane, so it's not exactly the most comfortable flight. So thank you very much. There's some more of them. There's a group of about 25 normally. Most of them are South Sudanese. Others come from the local Turkana tribes. Others come from Tanzania as well. Thank you, Mark. This is me, Peter, and Peter Germain. Peter Germain was on the course a few years ago as a student. He went back to Tanzania. He did further studies. A Dutchman, I think, sponsored his further studies. And he was then had a vision to introduce the Augustine program in Tanzania. So they've been running it for 2 years. This is the first year they've done it as a 3 month blog. But he was with me to teaching this. That was quite a large group a few years ago, just 2 years ago. That's me teaching. I normally teach using PowerPoint because the students' English is not that good. We only teach in English. There are five or six tribal languages there, so to teach in English it makes sense. But some of their English is not that good. So if they can see what I'm talking about, if they've lost track of me, if I'm speaking too fast or too complicated, they've got an outline on the projector screen. So that's me teaching. And on to Rosalind, my wife, often comes with me, not every time, but when she does, she teaches English in the evening, and it's a tremendous encouragement to the students and a mother figure to a number of them. So she teaches English, and the attendance is voluntary in the evening, so it's proved very popular. Some of the teaching we do in group tasks, so especially Acts, I set them tasks as groups, and then they love to report back as different groups. So four different people will be presenting the group findings as they come back. Thank you, Mark. These are some of the PowerPoint slides. So discovering Mark's Gospel, 10 studies in Mark's Gospel. Each study has a set passage, then an aim, and then questions to work through the passage. So it's a way of learning. And then the review to check whether the passage did actually teach that. So that's the opening thing for Mark's Gospel. Pastoral epistles, this is part of the unit, one of the units of the Augustine program. Pastoral epistles. And then moving on from that. Galatians. Read, ask, learn. Read, ask, learn. Read, ask, learn. You read the passage, you ask it questions, and as you answer the questions from the passage, you learn. So that's to get them reading the Bible in an intelligent way. That's very useful. Galatians is very helpful because it does teach the doctrine of justification by faith very clearly, as does the book of Romans, which is something which a number of the students have never heard of before. And then preaching, many of you will know the name Stuart Olliott. He has this book called Preaching Pure and Simple. And I've produced a set of PowerPoints on the book to help the men with their preaching. So that's a pitching seminar. And then there's a survey of Christian doctrine based on Lily Burkhoff's systematic little summary of Christian doctrine. So it's a number of studies. We don't get through the whole book, but study one is religion, and then others is scripture. I use catechisms in the church in Eastbourne. Each Sunday I used to produce a catechism card for the children's talk. There's a question, and then on the back of it was the answer. And then I've used them at Locchio, and I've turned them into PowerPoint slides. This is one student, Josper, teaching a catechism question on Adam's fall. You'll hear him. You may not be able to understand what he's saying because the Africans speak in their African way. It's English language, but it's with an African so this is the listen. If you listen, it's a little video of him. The catechism is about Adam's fall into sin. That's Josaphat. Now, Josaphat was a drug addict. His family despaired of looking after him and threw him out on the street. So we can't look after him. You're a waste. You're an expense. We can't afford. Out you go. So he was on the street. And two evangelists came and said, come into the gospel meeting and listen to the good news. He went into the meeting. He was converted that night. Listened to the gospel. And my wife asked him what had happened to the addiction. He said, it finished straight away. The Lord delivered him from it straight away. That was 3 years before him coming as an evangelist to Locchio to study. And if you go on to the next slide, After showing them Josabat, I asked the class, how many of you, I'd like to hear how many of your, where you came to faith in Jesus Christ. One of the class looked a bit puzzled, but John, this man John, stood up. He said, I was very much like Josper. I was a drunkard. His name's John, and in Juba, in South Sudan, there's a drink called Johnny's, strong alcoholic drink, and he was just drinking himself to death. His sister came from Uganda to find him and take him back to Uganda to try and cleanse him of his alcohol, to put him straight again. He returned to Juba and became a drunkard again. His sister again came from Uganda and said, she found him and said, I want you to enroll in a Bible study course. He laughed at her and thought, well, I'm a drunkard. What would I be doing in a Bible study course? It was run by the Chinese, and they set a kind of entrance exam to get onto this course. And I think they must have had some sort of Sunday school background, because he was able to answer some of the questions. But then they asked a question which he didn't understand. He didn't know what the answer was. They asked, what is the Trinity? And he thought, and I know, he says, it's a chain of petrol stations, which it probably was, a chain of petrol stations called Trinity Petrol or something like that. But the Chinese accepted him on the course, despite his rather deficient Trinity. And on the course, they said, now we want you to preach. He said, well, but I'm a drunkard. But he obviously was saved on the course. His drink problem was difficult to overcome, but he's overcome it. And he was the most delightful student. And he said, Tim, I'd like to meet you in the library at 8 o'clock. And my heart sank a little bit, because usually if a student wants to meet you in the library at 8 o'clock, it's because he wants to ask you for some money. But when John came into the library at 8 o'clock, it wasn't money he was asking for. He just wanted the opportunity to further study, not being financed by anybody, but some access to further study, which I was able to direct him to a group called the Third Millennium, who offer free tuition on the internet. So the Lord is saving people. This man here in the orange t-shirt, he was saved while he was in prison, serving a prison sentence. And he was saved in prison. His first preaching was done in prison to the other prisoners. So these are the kind of men that Murphy's helping with Bible knowledge and understanding. So do please pray for the work of the Augustine Program. There is a library at Lokichogyo. I had an email yesterday asking for certain books to be supplied to the library, and we have been given some money by a church to finance some more books for the library. But it's good to see the students using it. A lot of the Africans don't read that much. Their knowledge is much more practically acquired rather than through study of books. So it's good to see them studying in the library. Thank you. These are some of the kitchen staff. And some of the staff members there. This man here, David Watt, he's moved to Canada. He's refugee status of Canada. So Isaac at the end of the table is managing the site at the moment. The ladies cook on charcoal. When the compound was built in 2003, they said, do you want gas ovens brought in? They said, no, charcoal, we'll cook on charcoal, because that helps the local economy. If you're shipping gas cylinders, it doesn't help the local people, but if you're buying charcoal, it helps the local economy. So it's they're the cooks. It's very encouraging when the students say thank you at the end of your teaching time. And Abraham, one of the young students, said, okay, so we thank God that the organizer has been with us on our behalf. I pray for myself. God is good. Since I started my education, this is the first time in my life, in my experience, that I have had instruction in the Bible. It is the first time in his whole life he's had instruction in the Bible. The knowledge that I've gained from this teaching will not go away. Thank you, Pastor and Mama. I will go away changed, not only in Bible study, but also the way I treat people and the way I live with family and others. I will continue with the Word of God, but I will pray or lift up to God for you. May you continue teaching many people around the world. So these are really sincere thanks. And then and the next one. Thank you, Mark. That's this guy.
Sorry, I'm on one spot. Sorry.
Too many computers. James, big fellow. So it's time for us to appreciate our teachers and to say many thanks to Mama. So I'll say thank you. You being together as one is so wonderful. We have had Pastor Tim on his own who taught us time, and it was good to work for him. The way you have believed in God, we take away with us. Because the system you have is very wonderful. Being a couple is a life together. Since you married Tim, you'll become one. It's not here in our culture in Africa. So this was quite not a surprise, because often the men go away for work, away from their wives, and they don't. Marriage is very different in Africa than it is here. So for them to see Rosalind and myself working together as a couple was extraordinary. They hadn't seen that in their culture. So it was something he wanted to imitate there. So that's James's testimony. So if you could pray for two men who are at their present time, Stephen Green and Mark Richards. They will carry on teaching till the 27th or 26th, and they'll be travelling home 27th. And Thomas Buchanan, when I was in Scotland and met Mark Mullins, Thomas Buchanan was there, and he heard about the work, and he's going to teach and take over from Mark Richards and Stephen Green. So do please pray for him. This is his first time. Going, he'll be teaching with Pastor Motor. Pastor Motor is an African. He has the name Motor because when he was born, a car drove into the village. It's the first time a car had driven into the village, I think, so he was called Motor. So Pastor Motor, his name is because a motor came. So do please pray for them. And also pray for more staff to teach at Ilogi. And this is a short video, and this is the last slide really. Short video on the work of the Farsi broadcasts. Farsi is broadcasting to Iran. Though obviously with what's happened in Iran recently, the internet access is greatly limited. But there are two new ladies, you'll see their photos in a moment, working on the Farsi broadcast program. When I went to the barber's last, I was shorn by an Iranian. And we talked about the situation in Iran. He was definitely not Muslim. He'd abandoned Islam because of the corruption of the government. And he said, really, there's only about 30% of Iranians that are actually convinced Muslims. The rest are much more secular, and the uprising is more to do with starvation than religion. It's not a religious revolt, it's a economic revolt against the government. So this is about the Farsi broadcast.
Greetings, brothers and sisters. On behalf of the Farsi ministry team, we are very grateful to share the redeeming word of God. Our mission is to share the gospel with all Farsi speakers across Iran, Afghanistan, and Tajikistan, and abroad. In past years, we were able to translate the Belgian Confession, Heidelberg Catechism, and the Canons of Dort, and also sharing those classic confessions of the Reformed faith with others. We hosted online Zoom meetings in which every part of the confessions was read, explained, and translated into Farsi, mostly for Iranians in Iran. There was time given for everyone to ask questions. These sessions were recorded and then shared on YouTube for other Farsi speakers to watch, especially for viewers inside Iran.
This year brought many challenges, especially given the complex situation across the region. Yet, with our leaders' guidance and the help of brothers and sisters, we reopened the Rosh Dino Farsi website. Rosh Dino means new growth in Persian, and that is our aim. Steady growth in the knowledge and love of Christ. The site now offers well-known Christian books, historic creeds and confessions, and biblical teaching booklets, all translated into clear, idiomatic Persian, so people in Iran, Afghanistan, Tajikistan, and abroad can read, download, and share them. Yet no book compares with the Word of God, so we encourage everyone to read the Bible for themselves.
Therefore, our social media channels, links from the website, feature programs prepared for this purpose. Short Bible reading series covering both the Old and the New Testaments, translated sermons, and biblically inspired hymns. Those programs invite Farsi speakers to set confusion aside and see the whole plan of God, which clearly points to the true Messiah, to Jesus, Prince of Peace, our Lord.
Please keep the Iranian Farsi team here at John Pilgrim Center in your prayers as we revise earlier translations, add new books to the website, and prepare new programs, Bible reading plans, book readings, and catechism series to share with others. May God use this work to bless the hearts and minds of many.
So that's an old slide, so not paying attention to that. If anybody's got any questions, I'd be happy to try and answer them.
Any questions? One online?
It's the booklets I've produced with the Augustine program. They've not been translated into South Sudanese, but they have been translated into Swahili, and they have been translated into some of the Ethiopian languages, Oromo and Amharic. And there's a man in Indonesia who's translating them into Indonesian, and ready for launching the Augustine program in August next year. So that material that I've produced is being translated, but there are other books which are translated into Arabic. So some familiar books that you would know, theological books translated into Arabic and Urdu and Indonesian, the Indonesian languages. So there is literature in some dialects.
What about Bibles? Are you working from an English Bible, or are you working from Bibles translated into local dialects?
In Lokichogyo, There was a very wealthy American, I think, who donated lots of ESV study Bibles. Very expensive, but there are so many of them that we do use the ESV study Bible. It's not easy for the students in their language.
When you say that, it sounds as if...
it wouldn't be my choice.
No, no.
And it wouldn't be the choice of some of the teachers that go. Yes, it's got some unusual ways of translating things.
There's also, of course, the textual issues.
Yes. Yes.
Would most supporters be received text, or would you have a mixture?
It would be a mixture.
And would people teach different things? Because presumably you've got teachers going out there from churches.
Yes.
Someone like Thomas Buchanan would have one view without, presumably there'll be a variety of how you deal with that.
There is a fixed curriculum for the course.
Yeah.
Three or four units, and there is material that I've produced for each section of each unit. So the idea is that the teacher will use that material. I know that Thomas Buchanan, he's in addition to the Acts material, there's a Presbyterian minister in Scotland who's produced a very brief commentary on the Book of Acts. It's about 50 sheets, A4.
Who is that?
I'm not quite sure who it is. I put it on my laptop or on my computer. But you can, Thomas sent me a link, and you can get the link and go to their commentaries.
Right.
So I can send you a copy of that.
Please. Yes. What about, oh, sorry, if someone's, please.
You know, I've got a question about the Father of the and about the Tanzania, to Nairobi. Are they going to a church or is it a big church like this?
No. No, they attend a church. Well, they've established a church. They call themselves the Evangelical Presbyterian Church of Tanzania. But it's a fledgling church with only a few groups and congregations. So they're not big. It's not a big church, no. Small church. But they have this biblical training program, which is reaching out to many people across Tanzania. They've got a group of students now from Zanzibar. Zanzibar is 98% Muslim. And they've got a group of five, I think, men from Zanzibar come on the course, which is a wonderful opportunity to establish the goal where they are.
Tell us about the actual headquarters of MIRF. Are you the only employee, or are there others?
No. I'm the only employee here in the UK. There is the centre, which is the John Kelvin Centre, which is the picture up here, John Kelvin Centre. That was built. The lower level is the church. There's a basement under the church where meals are prepared. So often on a Sunday, there will be a meal for everybody who attends the church. Then there are different levels for accommodation, for study. The difficulty is that when it was built, people would easily travel from Egypt to Cyprus, but with the EU, getting visas is difficult. So the centre is underused. But it's used now for the Farsi broadcast teams. There are employed staff in Cairo, about 12, I think, full-time, and about 50 volunteers who help with the programs. There are three full-time staff in Beirut who work for Merton. So there are other staff. I'm just the coordinator of the Augustine program.
What about hymns, that sort of thing? Psalms, do you produce any material for worship?
No, Murph doesn't run churches. Murph serves existing churches.
Right.
So whatever the existing church practices, we are there to serve the churches, not to tell them what to do.
We're teaching, you are doing
that. In teaching, we teach reverential worship, which is a great challenge in Africa. It's a challenge to the church at Lokotsuki. That's a lamentable worship experience. It is quite distressing to a number of men that go. But we're not actually serving the church so much as the students.
Yes.
What are the origins of the organization?
The origins, and the MRF began in about 1974, 75, with some academics who were studying in Beirut University. It was about the time when the Banner of Truth started publishing. And the Banner of Truth published a little book called The Saving Grace of God in the Gospel. It's now printed under John Cheeseman's name, Saving Grace, published by the Banner. But they read this and they felt this is a depth of Christianity which we need to explore. So they devoured Reformed liturgy. And they said, well, let's establish a Lebanese Reformed Fellowship where they would read Cornelius Van Til and other people like that. And they would hold seminars, discussion groups, book clubs, and then the civil war in Lebanon put an end to that. A number of them had to flee the country. So then MRF was formed in about 1984, saying, well, no, it's rather selfish for us just to enjoy Reformed literature for ourselves when there are many Christians in Muslim countries who don't have access to this kind of material and they need encouraging. So they came back to Cyprus, which was safer, and established this Middle East Reform Fellowship, which includes the Lebanese Reform Fellowship, but has a focus on ministering to Christians in Muslim-dominated contexts.
Are there tracts for Bangladeshi Muslims?
Are there tracks?
I imagine Robert Scott would be the person to ask that.
Yes, he might be. There is. MRF went over to Bangladesh, or two men from MRF, Pastor Ian Wright and Douglas McCullum, went to teach in Bangladesh. There are two groups of Reformed men, or two groups of Christians of Reformed convictions. They don't get on, so that's a difficulty. But MRF is trying to encourage them, but doesn't really want to get involved if they can't reconcile to each other. So it's that's an ongoing project as to what we do.
Do you have other denominations?
Well, there are a number of denominations within the MRF organization. So a lot of the men who go out to Lokotsuki are Reformed Baptists or Baptists, not Presbyterians. We make it a rule that when you go out there, you don't make baptism an issue. If you've got convictions about believers' baptism, you don't plug that because you're ministering to Presbyterians. You respect the church which we're serving and their convictions. So we don't want to send confusion back into South Sudan. Although you might have strong convictions about baptism yourself. So there are different denominations. in the Rev Committee in Australia, they're probably Anglicans on the committee, but they're stronger in Australia than many Anglicans in this country. So I attend an Anglican church, but that's not my conviction. It's a gospel preaching church, and the gospel is first above Anglicanism. That's the reason for so many people going there. It's not Anglican first, it's evangelical first. Just happens to be in an Anglican building, unfortunately.
Good. Well, thank you very much indeed.
It's a pleasure. Thank you.
We've just got a few minutes, so I'll ask if you'd like to have a word, and we'll sing, and I'll ask would you like to as well, Simon? Would you have a word of prayer and to after everything? You just come up to here, because
Heavenly Father, thank you, Lord, for the things which we have heard tonight. Thank you, Lord, for the work in the Middle East formed fellowship. Thank you, Lord, for all those who serve in that work. Thank you, Lord, for all the provision you provided for the needs of that society. We pray, Lord God, for continued help churches and supporters that work might go on for another 40 years. Lord, we do thank you for all those which have been saved through the work. Lord, have been strengthened in their faith. Those men that we saw were going through the training programs and seeking to probably serve in churches themselves. Plant churches, spread your gospel. Lord, so we do pray that all these works which are done, all the efforts that are put in, we pray, Lord God, that you might water that seed and that, Lord, great fruit might come from it in years to come. So, Lord, we thank you for your church worldwide. We know that so many areas we may differ in beliefs and interpretation of things and in our different practice. We've been reminded that tonight that it is gospel first, that it is the truth of your word that must come first, the propagation of it. We may differ from others on secondary issues. Pray, Lord, that these things may not divide, as we've heard from our brother this night, the gospel might continue to go forth and souls will be saved. So, Lord, we thank you now for this time which we've enjoyed together. And we ask, Lord, that you might part us with your blessing through the worthy name of your Son, Lord Jesus Christ.
Amen.
Father, we give you thanks to the ministry of Mr. Burton and his commitment to this project. And we pray for all those that we've been asked to pray for this evening, and especially those who are in positions of danger at this time. May thy Holy Spirit be with them, protect them, we humbly pray, dear Lord. and guide them in the days ahead as to how they are to reach out to the unsaved in these lands. Through Christ our Lord. Amen.
Amen.
Lord our God, we thank you for the ministry of our brother who spoke to us, Brother Don Tillett, presenting the the Middle East Reform Fellowship Ministry, and their various extensive training program in Cyprus, where the training and the sending of missionaries is being done, and through the prayers of our churches in Europe, particularly in the United Kingdom. Thank you, Lord, for this outreach. We pray, Lord, that in lifting out the Middle East Reform Fellowship, to the representative here, Brother Tillett, I pray that they may continue to bring the light of the gospel into the dark places in southern Sudan. They may bring comfort with the preaching of the gospel and the love of Christ and his teaching, and various aids, practical aids, material aids, and prayers of various churches, and the truth of Reformed theology to those in need. We also pray for the ministry of Stephen Green and Mark Richard in South Sudan. I pray that their perseverance and hard work will bear fruit in training local Christians like Joshpat in that program of teaching a catechism question on Adam's fall. Pray that this man, Lord, will be used mightily in proclaiming the gospel to the local people that he's teaching a while ago. I pray that our prisoners will be reached out, and those in are addicted in drugs may also be lifted up with the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior. Also remember the local team, like the Parsi-Persia team and the Iranian-Parsi team as well. I pray that their efforts in reaching out to the local resident from those literature being produced in English and translated, like our brother Tillett, we have written some literature being translated in different languages there. I pray it will bring fruit of preaching the gospel, leading to more souls to be saved in Southern Sudan and other parts of Middle East, and that this broadcasting center and also in Cyprus, to the Calvin Center, will reach out more souls, O Lord, in the Middle East. As there are a lot of good news, even some local people from Middle East who are coming to London are making their own progress and making blogs broadcasted in the Middle East. And thank you that there is one I met in Pastor Dixon Church and his ministry. These are Middle Eastern people who have been converted with the preaching of the gospel in blogs as well. And now he was converted as well. I pray that all this that comes presented a while ago will will raise up more souls to the faithful broadcast of the gospel, to the Middle East Reformed Fellowship. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
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 Close by singing Psalm 72, verses 17 to 19.
This day for a challenge of us by the sun it shall. Men shall be blessed with kindness, all nations shall him call. Thou blessest me, the Lord our God, the God of Israel. For he has loved the wondrous works in glory and excel. And blessed be his glorious name, in glory's eternity. The whole world is glory filled, amen, so let it be.
We just close with the blessing from now at the end of Numbers chapter 6. The Lord bless thee and keep thee. The Lord make his face shine upon thee and be gracious unto thee. The Lord lift up his countenance upon thee and give thee peace. Please, Lord, grant us this blessing, we pray. In Jesus' name we ask, and for his sake. Amen.
Amen. Thank you very much. It was very interesting. Thank you.
Well, thank you, Lord.